Jeremiah chapter 36 and 2 Kings chapter 22. In Jeremiah 36, notice what happens, verse number 1. Came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. Let me stop right there. God says to Jeremiah, get you a book, get you a roll, get you some, if you would, the papyrus and everything, and we're going to write down some words. And you're going to write down what I speak to you, and what I speak to you is going to be against Israel, it's going to be against Judah, it's going to be against all nations, it's going to pronounce some judgments, and what you're going to do with that roll, I'll tell you just a little bit later. Look at verse number 4. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of who? The Lord. The Lord told Jeremiah, Jeremiah told Baruch the scribe, and Baruch, all he did was write down the words that came through Jeremiah, and the Bible says they wrote those words down which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. So here's what they did. God literally spoke to Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke to Baruch, and Baruch wrote all the words down in the roll of a book. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. Verse number 17. What Baruch does now is he goes in to the leaders and to the house of the Lord and begins to declare all these words that pronounce judgment, if you would, against Israel and against Judah and against all nations. Verse 17, And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Let me say that again. How did you get these words? Well, Jeremiah hooked up with the Lord. The Lord told Jeremiah. Jeremiah told me, I heard these words, and all I did with an ink was write all the words down in this book. Is that right? Verse 20. And they went into the king. Who's the king? It's Jehoiakim. He went into the king, into the court. But they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe and told all the words in the ears of the king. Here's what they said. Jeremiah told Baruch. Baruch wrote it down and we've got the book. We've got what's been said. And the Bible says in verse 21, So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. And he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king. What was he reading? He was reading what Baruch had penned down, what Jeremiah had said under this direct inspiration of God. Would you agree with that? Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat, verse 22, in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, pages if you would, he cut it with the penknife, cast it into the fire. That was on the hearth. Until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Brethren, that doesn't get rid of the Word of God, amen? Just because somebody cuts the pages off and throws them into the fire, that doesn't mean it still isn't true. Verse 24, Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, the Bible says there that Elnathan and Jelathiah and Gemirah had made intercession to the king. These three, they said to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. Now, here's what I want you to get so far. Jehoiakim, go back to chapter 36 and look at verse 1. Verse 1. It came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim. Let me say this to you so you understand. He began to reign, 2 Kings says this, he began to be king at 25. So Jehoiakim was now, in his fourth year, he was 29 years old. The Bible says when he was 29 years old as king, that God said to Jeremiah, I'm going to give you some words, I want you to write these words down in a book. These words are going to pronounce judgment against Israel, against Judah, against all the nations, And what we're going to do is we're going to take this book, we're going to take it in front of the king, and we're going to warn him. But the Bible says that Jehoiakim, at 29 years of age, when he heard the words, they didn't mean anything to him. He didn't believe them. They didn't shake him at all. He was just sitting there listening to these words, and it was falling on, if you would, ears that wouldn't hear. And he was just, if you would, the reader, Jehudai, was just cutting these things up and throwing into the fire. And cutting them and throwing them in the fire. And cutting them and throwing into the fire. And even when some of these made intercession and said, don't burn this roll, he wouldn't hear them. We all right so far? Look, if you would, again at Jeremiah 36, and notice verse 1. Came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of who? Say it. Josiah. He's the son of who? Josiah. Look if you would at 2 Kings chapter 22. You're doing well. 2 Kings chapter 22. Stay right with me. So Jehoiakim, when he was 29 years old, heard the words written down on that roll in that book. And the Bible says he would not, if you would, believe them. He heard them, but he didn't hear them. He received, if you would, what was being said, but he didn't receive it. And he just watched that book being cut and being thrown into the fire, if you would. Look at his father. Josiah was his father. And notice, if you would, 2 Kings 22, look at verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And notice, if you would, the Bible says in verse 3, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. So all you do is you add up that he started reigning when he was 8. And now he's in his 18th year, so he's 26 years old. And the Bible says this, that someone, the high priest, found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Look at verse number 8, if you would. Verse number 8. Watch it, if you would. Now remember, Josiah is now 26 years old. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Now, they're going to bring this book to the king. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now, watch verse 11. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Why? Because he believed what was being said. It was pronouncing judgment, if you would, against the kingdom at that time. And when Josiah heard the words of the book that was found in the house of the Lord, he rent his clothes. It moved him, if you would. And he began to go and say, find out if this is all true. Let's seek the Lord on this thing. Let's see if this is all what's supposed to happen. And look at verse 19. The Lord comes back and says this to Josiah. Because thy heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. When thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation, a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Brethren, Josiah, when he heard the words of God, his heart was tender, it wasn't hardened. He humbled himself, it wasn't pride. And the Bible says he rent his clothes and God saw that. Look at verse chapter 23. Stay right with me. Chapter 23. And the king sent. And they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. And the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. Here's what we have so far. Jehoiakim, his son, when he was 29 years old, listened, if you would, to the words that Jeremiah wrote through the hand of Baruch. And when Jehoiakim heard these words, he burned them. He didn't pass them to the people. He didn't pass it on. He didn't give them a chance. He just burnt the words and they meant nothing to him. But his father, Josiah, when Josiah was 26 years old, when he heard the words of God, it impacted and penetrated his heart. He rent his clothes. Something changed inside of him. He humbled himself, if you would, and he got all the people together and said, you've got to hear what this book says. And he read it in the ears of all the people. And you know what began to happen? They went out and started destroying the altars of Baal in the days of Josiah. They went out and destroyed all the idols that were going on. They ripped down the houses of the false gods. You can read in chapter 23 there of 2 Kings. You can talk about, if you would, in chapter 23, how they go on and they start tearing everything down that was wrong. You can read, in, if you would, in verse 13, the mount of corruption that Solomon had built to all those false gods. They burnt that. They tore them down. Jeroboam's altar that he had made against God, they got rid of that. And he started a clean house. Is that right? But it wasn't all negative. Look at the positive that he did. Look at chapter 23, if you would, and look at verse number 21. Verse 21. The Bible says this, "And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover." Brethren, he had just read about the Passover in the book. "Keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant." You see, Josiah now had entered into a covenant in verse 3. He had told everybody, "We're going to enter into the covenant of this book. We're going to do what it says," which means we're going to tear some things down that we let build up that shouldn't be here, and we're going to get back to some of the things we should be getting back to. And they kept the Passover, if you would. And look at verse 25. "And like unto him where there was no king before him, that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him." Here's the contrast. Two men, one's a father, one's a son. The father, when he finds out the book of the law is found, he's 26 years old. He hears the word. It penetrates his heart. It burns in his heart, if you would. He repents. He lets all the people hear it, and the whole kingdom changes, if you would, and goes back to the Lord, making so many changes. But when his son Jehoiakim, at 29 years old, hears the word of the Lord, you know what he does? He burns it. But even more than that, he robs the people of having a walk with God. He robs the kingdom of God's blessing. Why? Because when he heard the Word of God, he didn't believe it was actually the Word of God. Josiah, when they came and said, "Hey, we found this book in the house of the Lord," and when they read it, evidently he knew, "Hey, this has come directly from God, and we've got to do everything this book says, and we've got to get ourselves right, if you would, and we've got to do not only get rid of some things, but we've got to get some things going again that we've let slip." Are we still all right? Look, if you would, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, please. You're doing well. 2 Peter chapter 1. With 2 Peter chapter 1, I also want you to pick up 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You're doing well. Great this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1. Thanks for turning there. If you don't know where it's at, just look up in the index. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Jehoiakim, 29 years old, son of Josiah. Jehoiakim did not receive the words given by God, but his father did. His father, if you would, heard the words and made sure the people got a hold of them, and the kingdom started clearing up and cleaning out, and God blessed him. Oh, I understand that because of many sins that Israel had done, not everything was taken care of, but the point of it was, one believed the word of God when he heard it, the other one didn't. One took that copy of that book of the law and burned it in the fire. The other one let that copy of the book that was found in the house of God burn in his heart and let him be changed, if you would. One, if you would, took the copy of the book of the law and didn't have any respect to it and just got rid of it. And the other one had much respect and let it change him. In fact, one of them let God be God, and one of them was his own God. Would you agree with that statement? Because may I say to you today, you're going to find as you go through life, a lot of people will judge you on how you believe about the book of the Lord, the Bible. Whether you believe we have a real copy of the words in God, inspired, if you would, by God, written, yes, penned down by men, preserved by the Holy Ghost of God, whether you believe that or not, people will judge you. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Stay right with me. And notice what he says in verse number 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time, by the, would you say the next little phrase? Will of man. It wasn't the will of man that wrote this book. Would you agree with this? But holy men of God spake as they were moved by who? The Holy Ghost. So here's what he says. Just like God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah told Baruch, Baruch wrote it down. He said this, the Holy Ghost moved men of God, and the Bible says they spake, and they wrote down these words, and what we believe we have here today in our hands is the written Word of God. And we believe God inspired men, and men wrote it down, and God preserved it. And in our hands right now, we believe we have God's written Word that we can read, not to chuck out words and tear up pages and put it into the fire, but just to read and try to understand, if you would. Hey, brother, you know what? Some men and women have, if they can't understand a scripture or a passage, over the year they'll change it to the will of man. What we've done, though, here at our church is said, wait a minute, if we don't understand it, let's get a dictionary out. If we don't understand it, maybe there's something in there that God hasn't revealed yet to us, and we're not going to change what it says. We're going to try to understand what it says. Are you listening to me? Because, brethren, if we don't have the Word of God, what are we basing our salvation on? Hey, the foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we believe that? It's according to the Word. How would we know that if the Bible didn't say that? We would be drifting around out there, and whatever came into our heart, we dreamed of, if you would, that would be our little private interpretation, that would be our little false god, if you would, and we'd have a mess going on, and that's what's going on in the world today. There's so many dreamed up prophets and dreamed up schemes on how to get to heaven, and we just decided when we heard the Word of God, it spoke to our heart, it burned in our heart, and something inside of us changed. And we just believe it is the Word of God, spake by the Holy Spirit to men who wrote it down, and we believe God's able to preserve it. We still all right? We believe that all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration. We believe God inspired it. We don't have a Bible of the Month Club. We don't go to whatever new version it is, and then this new version, and this new version. Because as we study and look at these new versions, we see these new versions changing what God wrote. Come on, are you with me all right? Somebody says, well, that's going to make you all pretty narrow. I would rather be narrow and solid on what the book says than constantly changing and shifting and going to whatever's next and dishonoring God and taking out the deity and taking out the blood and taking out the doctrine, if you would, and taking out all kinds of things. As the world gets farther and farther away from God, they don't want the light of this book to shine into their hearts because it's going to reveal the darkness in there, and we're going to still keep preaching there is a hell, there is a heaven, there is only one God. His name is Jesus Christ. He created this world. He is the one that will judge us one day, and He preserves this book. Are we all right? Look, if you would, a little farther and look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. To some of you, this is no new revelations, but stay with me. We're not done yet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. By the way, if you're a new Christian in here, get yourself on solid footing. If you don't have a Bible, go over to our bookstore and we will give you one. Brother Moore, are you in here somewhere? Brother Moore, if someone comes, you say, I don't have a Bible. I mean, if you don't have any money, you can't buy a Bible. We will give you a Bible today that you can trust. If you don't know if you can trust the Bible you have, why don't you come to us and we'll give you one you can trust. You say, well, how do you know that? Take it by faith and see what God does. Is that all right? We still all right? Take it by faith and see what God does. Watch God change you through His Word. Because the right word will change you. Look, if you would, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look at verse 13, if you would. For this cause, also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that do what? believe. Brother, you're going to hear people out there, men and women, you're going to hear relatives, you're going to hear people you work with say, oh, listen, that's a bunch of cunningly devised fables and fairy tales, and men put that together and all that and everything. Brother, there isn't men alive ever that could put this together. It was written in many, many different thousands of years, and one scripture correlates with another scripture, and the reason they say that is they're ignorant of the Word of God. There's no way, no way you can read the book of Daniel and understand what it says in there, and read the book of Revelation written thousands of years later, and look in that thing and see how they correlate. May I say to you, people who say that are ignorant. I'm not putting them down like judging them. I'm just saying they're ignorant. I don't care how many degrees they have. I'm saying they're ignorant. You say, what do you mean they're ignorant? I mean they're dumb. They don't know the Word of God enough to know what's going on. And may I say, when they get regenerated, they'll get on the other side of this thing and they'll start doing what Paul did. Used to be Saul, condemning, if you would, what Christians were doing. Then he became Paul. He met the Lord. He found out what was right, and he started preaching Jesus Christ. We all right? You know, it's a good question we ought to ask ourselves, though. How have we handled it this year? What have we done with it? We can shout to the housetops and say, that's right, that's what I believe. But how have we handled it? What have we done with it? How have we used it? Stay with me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Stay right with me. I'm watching your time. We're going to get you out of here in good order. You're saying amen, and we're going to get out of here. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, watch now, in Ephesians chapter 4, I'll give the saints something in just a moment. Ephesians 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's remember that we have people that are growing in Christ. And I like to go back and review some of these things once in a while. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, watch, in Ephesians chapter 4. Watch how they correlate. Ephesians chapter 4, holding your place there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, by the way, in your mind's eye, just think of Jehoiakim who burned the book. Just think of Jehoiakim who heard the word and who let the book burn in the fire. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the little g god of this world, a little note there, that's Satan, is that right? Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Jehoiakim, let that word be burnt in the fire. Why? Evidently, the light of the judgment, if you would, he was speaking against Israel and against the kingdom. The light was shining in, and he didn't like what it was saying, so he decided not to believe it, if you would, and so they just put it in the fire and burned it. By the way, that didn't destroy the Word of God. If you'll read sometimes the rest of that chapter, God said, Jeremiah, take another roll. I'll give it to you again. Hey, when Moses came off the mountain the first time, he had the Ten Commandments, is that right? In tables of stone? He broke them, if you would, threw them down, broke them, but he went back up and God says, now, bring me another set of tables. I can write it down again. That's no problem. Just because you break it on earth doesn't mean it's still not set in heaven. Just because they burned my book down there doesn't mean it's still not the Word of God. Just because somebody down there in 2000 and 2001 and 2002 and 2005 and 2010 says there is no Word of God doesn't mean there's not a Word of God. We know there's a famine coming, is that right? Not of bread, not of water, but of the what? The Word of the Lord. The idea, brethren, is they didn't believe it because the God of this world hid it. Look, if you would, at Ephesians 4, you're holding your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 very quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. And watch what it says if you get in verse number 18. Verse number 18 of Ephesians 4, holding your place in 2 Corinthians 4. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the what? Ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Let me make a statement to you. I know what it's like to have a darkened heart, to have blinders, if you would, and blindness, and to be, if you would, alienated. I was an adult without understanding, without Christ, and I remember reading the Word of God, and it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. But, brother, I got to tell you something. When you get saved,
When faith comes, when you start believing, when salvation comes as a result of repentance, when the change is made, when there's regeneration, you begin to read the Word of God and all of a sudden the light goes on. And what used to be dark brightens up. And what it does, that light hits the dark part of our hearts and our habits and our attitude and our personality and our actions, and it shines a light in there and condemns us. Would you agree with that? But the change starts. And it's a wonderful change. Look at the change holding your place in Ephesians 4 now. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice what happens now on the other side. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Holding your place in Ephesians 4. Look, if you would, at verse number 6 of 2 Corinthians 4. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Brethren, when the light comes, it's such a wonderful thing. It's like becoming a little child again. We read the Bible. We study it. We look at it. We think about it. We grow. It shows us about ourselves. And the Bible becomes, if you would, alive. Would you agree with this? This is not a dead book. It is a living book. And by the way, somebody says it's out of date, it's still in date. In fact, may I say to you, it's not even up to date as far as what's going to happen in the future. It already knows what's happening in the past. It already knows what's happening right now. And it already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. It's right up to date. In fact, it's ahead of the date. Is that right? Look back, if you would, at Ephesians. Stay right with me. And in Ephesians, look at chapter 1 now. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to hover in Ephesians just for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1. When that light comes on, when that darkness, if you would, becomes light. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and notice what it says in verse number 17. You're doing well. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being lightened. In type, that's like Josiah. When Josiah, if you would, heard the Word of God in type, Josiah believed the Word of God and acted upon it. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. The idea is this. People can walk in darkness and not understand the book, or by faith they can believe it and walk in light, and God will reveal His Word to them. Would you agree with that statement? Now, for those of you who have been saved for a while, let's talk just for a moment. We need to understand something. To many, many, many on this earth, because of their unbelief, because of the way they've been taught, because of what they believe about things in this world, this Bible is still locked up to them. Don't take for granted it is unlocked to us. Don't take for granted. Look at Ephesians 3. Follow with me. Stay right there. Ephesians 3. You're doing well. I don't care if you've read your Bible for 20 years. How are you doing right now with it? Look at Ephesians 3:3. How that by revelation, revealing, He made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote before in a few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, don't miss verse 5, was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now, say it, revealed, unto His holy apostles and prophets, next three words, by the Spirit. You know who reveals the Word of God to the holy apostles and to the prophets? It was the author and still is the author of the book. Would you agree with that statement? Statement. The Holy Spirit spake and moved men to write this Bible. The Bible says that. Would you agree with that? The Holy Spirit authors this book, and it's the Holy Spirit who reveals this book. So if somebody does not have the Holy Spirit in them, then this Bible doesn't make any sense. Would you agree with me on that? You see, brethren, without the Holy Ghost, you can read this thing, you can even study it, you can even memorize things, but you won't understand it. Seeing, the Bible says, they saw not. Hearing, they said, He hears not. And by the way, Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, seeing they'll see and not perceive. And hearing they'll hear, but they'll not understand. That's why He spoke in parables. That's why to some people, when they come to church, it's like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But when they come to church, it's like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Brethren, when you get saved, you will begin to understand it. You will begin to get it. You will begin to perceive it. You will begin to get excited about it. You begin to study it for yourself. There'll be changes that take place, but it's by the Spirit. Now, it is possible for Christians to lose their interest in the Word of God. Let me say it again. It is possible for Christians to lose their interest in the Word of God. Let me say it one more time. It is possible for Christians to lose their interest in the Word of God. You say, why would you say that? Because there's probably some of us in here who haven't read our Bible all week long. Now, let me say that again. There's probably some of us in here who haven't read our Bible in the last 3 days. Probably if we look back on our study and our Bible and our personal devotions this year, we would have said, well, I was pretty hot for a while and I was doing well with it for a while, but actually, to be honest with you, I got off track. Look up here. You see, after you've been saved 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, it's possible just to kind of wake up and the Holy Spirit says, don't you want to read my word, and we get busy? Or we think, well, I know it pretty well. And the Holy Spirit will say, but you don't know it well enough. Because isn't it true that He can reveal something else to us every time we get in there? Or He can reinforce something or show us something. Ephesians 4, last scripture. Don't miss this. I'm going to get you out of here in good order. Watch this. Don't miss it. Ephesians chapter 4. Why does the Word of God to some Christians begin to, if you would, lose its freshness? And why does it, if you would, begin to kind of close up again? Look at verse 30. Verse 30. And grieve not, who? The Holy Spirit. Now, He's the writer of the Word of God. He's the revealer of the Word of God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all, say it, bitterness, and what? Wrath. And what? Anger. And what? Clamor. And what? Evil speaking. Be put away from you with all malice. Do you know what can hinder us in our Bible reading, in our Word of God, in our understanding more of the Word of God? Look up here and listen. Bitterness. Wrath. Malice, anger, clamor, evil speaking. You say, wait a minute. Brother Fisher, you're saying that bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, and malice can hinder the understanding to the Word of God? Yes. Because if the Holy Spirit inside of me is grieved because I'm speaking evil, or because I have ungodly anger, or because I have bitterness, or because I have a grudge, or because I have wrath, it's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals His book to me. And if He's grieved, He's not going to reveal it like He would. Let me say that again. Why is it important for husbands and wives not to be angry with each other? Men, let me just talk to you for a moment. Why is it important to you as a man, a Christian man? Why is it important that you don't rail on your wife? Look up here. Why is that important? Well, you say, well, I should treat her right. Yeah, that's true. You should. So should I. But why is it important that if we get angry with her and yell at her and make her feel terrible and put a big guilt trip on her and blame her for this or blame her for that, what's that going to do to me? That's going to grieve the Holy Spirit inside of me. Look up here. And when I get ready to read my Bible and study my Bible the next time, that Holy Spirit of God inside of me is going to be grieved. And He's not going to open up this book like He would have. Because He knows how I'm treating my wife. And I'll be reading and not get it right with her, and reading and not get it right with her, and days go by and reading and not get it right with her, and days go by and reading and not get it right with her. And I'm reading, I'm just going, man, I'm not getting anything out of this. What's wrong? Holy Spirit's grieved. The author of the book is grieved. Let's say, look up here, let's say somebody holds a grudge against somebody. And they know it's in there. And it's a grudge. I'm not talking about I don't want to see that person. I'm talking about a grudge. It's in there. And I know it's in there. There's people that you may want to avoid because you just, for whatever reason, don't want to, but you don't have anything, just don't want to be around them. I'm going to avoid contention. I'm not going to get involved with that. But I'm talking about a grudge. You say, what's a grudge? Chewing on somebody. Eating on somebody in your heart and your mind. I'm talking about being angry with them and having maybe a little bit of malice towards them. I'm talking about that bitterness that can be in there, that anger. You know what that does? Look up here. It grieves the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's the author of this book, and this book will begin to close up. The understanding to this book will begin to close up. You mark it down. Look at me. Mark it down the 3 to 5 weeks this year that you had a hard time reading the book. Something happened in your spirit. You're angry about something. Something grieved you. Something beset you. Something came up. The old mind got in there and started speaking to you more than the new man. And you'd read your Bible maybe, but it just wasn't there. Or you'd come to church and it wouldn't penetrate. The Scriptures, the preaching, it wouldn't penetrate. May I say, before the preacher even stands up, if you're doing okay with God and you got your heart clean with other people and you're doing well with other people, just in the song service, you can get excited about the things of God. But if you come in and you're holding this against that person, you're holding that against that person, and haven't forgiven that person, and holding that against over there, and I'm a victim because of this over here, and that over there, I don't care who it is, I don't care how much they preach, I don't care how much power is on them, you'll sit there and kind of go, I'm not getting a thing. And you walk out, you don't read your Bible in the week, not growing, stagnating. Let me ask you a question again. How do we do this year handling the Word of God? Maybe what we ought to look at is not so much how we're being taught or what we're being taught. Maybe we ought to look at our own heart. Maybe we ought to look at our own attitude. Maybe we ought to look at our own personality, what's being harbored in there. And maybe what's hindering us is not someone else. Maybe what's hindering is not what happened to us 2 years ago, and what not what happened 5 years ago, and not what happened 20 years ago, and not what happened last week. Maybe what's hindering is how we handled it. Maybe the Holy Spirit said, I can give you forgiveness for that. I can give you a better attitude. But we would just rather, just grind on somebody. And you know what that is? Look up here. Everybody look up here. Here's the biggest problem we have. Pride. The biggest problem we all have. Do you hear me saying we, us? I'm in this with you. The biggest problem. Where does the contention come from? Tell me. Pride. And doesn't contention cause bitterness? And doesn't contention cause wrath? And isn't the contention, doesn't most of that stuff that he just talked about there in Ephesians chapter 4, doesn't most of it come from pride? You know what grieves the Holy Spirit more than anything? Pride. So you know what the Holy Spirit works on the most to get rid of? Pride. And you know how he gets rid of pride? Look up here. He breaks. Oh, don't say that. When our spirit is broken, we're soft. Isn't it true? When something comes upon us in our lives and we're just broken, it just seems like God's so near. Why? Because He resisteth the who? Pride. And giveth grace to the who? Humble. And I'm talking about when He breaks us and humbles us. You know what He's doing? He's opening up the Word of God more to us. He's showing us more. But when our pride starts welling up again and we don't want to acknowledge it and we don't want to deal with it, we want to just blame everybody else for this or that or this circumstances or that circumstances, and we're not walking softly before God, wouldn't you agree that that pride has a tendency to grieve the Holy Spirit? And when we get in our Bible, there is a pride that can come up that says, oh, I know this book.
I've read that before. Yeah, I've read that before. And somebody says, hey, did you, I saw this the other day, and I think, oh, I know that already. Somebody says, turn your Bible to this. And somebody says, I already know what's in there. I'm not going to turn there. I'll just what? Just shut my eyes and privately, quietly go to sleep. By the way, you can sleep with your eyes open. Or let me say it another way. You can slumber with your eyes open. You learned to do it in high school. Couldn't you just sit there? Sit there at your desk in high school? Did you guys used to have desks? We used to have desks. You sit there and the person is talking in front of you. You're staring. And you're not even home. I'm a long way away. I don't even know what they're talking about. I don't even care what they're talking about. I don't even know where I'm at. I remember going to college. I remember taking physics in college. College physics. I was sitting way up in the back. You ever see those big college auditoriums? Way up in the back. Somebody real small down there was teaching physics. I have no idea what they said. I went to every class. And I stood and stared. And I was a long way away, slumbering. That's why I didn't pass physics. I really did. But I got the notes from somebody else. Amen? You can't do that in this one. You can't just get, I'll just get the notes from someone else. No, the understanding has to come. But how we walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and how we treat this book is directly proportional to how much we grow in a year. Brethren, it's December. The year's over. You know what it's time for? To reflect. It's time to look back and learn. It's time to look back in our own lives. And brethren, look at this. It's not comparing ourselves to what we know compared to someone else knows. That's ridiculous. Because we can always find someone that doesn't know as much, or always find someone who knows a little bit more. Depending on where we're at that day, we can find somebody who says, well, I know more than they do about the book. That doesn't do us any good. What we ought to do is just look at our own race that we're running. And we ought to look back and reflect on this year and say, okay, how consistent was I in laboring in the Word of God and working in the Word of God? And this is not for preachers. It's for saints. For all of us. How much did I spend in the Word of God? How much time did I spend in the Word of God? How much time did I spend, if you would, reading the Word of God or even studying the Word of God? How much time did I spend dwelling on it? And don't put yourself down like, well, I'm a terrible Christian. I didn't do very well. Look at it and say, okay, I'm going to learn from that. January's just around the corner. Wait a minute. Hold it. Let me make a statement. Why wait till January? Well, January, I'm going to get started. No. What's today? December what? 8th? Let's start today. Let's get a running start into January. You know what people do? Man, I'm going to read my Bible through next year. I'm going to read my Bible through next year. I'm going to wait, and when January comes, I'm going to start. I'm going to read my Bible through. And you know what? We know the book of Genesis pretty well. We got the book of Genesis down pretty good. And we even got about the first 15 chapters of the book of Exodus down. Really good. Man, all the way up till they get on that other side of that Red Sea and Miriam sings, we got that thing down pretty good. But after that, we start losing it. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what that was all about, the tabernacle and the priest garments and all that. And Leviticus, oh boy, I don't even have any idea what's going on in Leviticus. I skipped that one. I don't get that. I picked it up again in Deuteronomy for a while, but after I just dropped that again. We all right? See, some of you laugh because you've read the book of Genesis probably 20 times. And probably half the book of Exodus. You know what would be good? It's just to get consistent. And you know what it will take for us? A walk with the Holy Spirit. You know what it will take? Look up here. It will take the Holy Spirit saying this to us. Don't be angry with that. And we'll go, okay, I won't. Don't say that back. Okay, I won't. Don't listen. Don't say that. You're going to start a fight. Don't say it. Leave it alone. Forbear. Because that affects our Bible reading and study. Hey, brother, have you ever been in a situation and you wanted to say it back and you wanted to say it back and you wanted to say it back and the Holy Ghost said, don't say it back. Don't say it back. Leave it. Walk away from it. Avoid contention. All these scriptures come flooding in. Don't say it back. I'm not going to say it back. I'm not going to say it back. Why? I don't want to hinder the Holy Spirit. I want to grieve Him because He's my source of light. Without Him, I don't get anything out of the book. All right? You see, when, how we walk with the Holy Spirit when He says, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it, don't do it. I don't care if they cut you off. Don't honk. Leave it alone. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they just zip in front of you, just and the Holy Spirit says, leave it alone, have patience, grace, slow down, everything's fine. Don't worry about it. Versus, and going right up on their bumper and staring at them and watching for their eyes to get in that little rear view mirror. You say, how do you know that? I counsel a lot of people. As you get a little older and you get a little bit more closer to the Holy Spirit, He'll mellow that out and He'll just go, ah, it's just a young guy, let him go. Guy was 84. Brother, little simple obedience to the Holy Spirit makes a difference. It makes a difference as we read the Word of God. It makes a difference as we study the Word of God. It makes a difference in our church attendance. It makes a difference in what we understand. It makes a difference in how we treat other people. It makes a difference. We can either act like Josiah or Jehoiakim. I find it very interesting. Jehoiakim, the son, 29 years old, just watched as Jehudi pinned it out and threw it in the fire. Pinned it out, threw it in the fire. And he was done. There was no book left. Didn't move him. Didn't do nothing. Why? His heart wasn't moved at all. They just burnt the book and didn't think about anything about it. You ought to read what happened to him after that sometime. Versus Josiah, his dad, 26 years old. Found the book. Go tell the king. Read the book. King rends his clothes. King starts cleaning up the kingdom. King says, let all the people hear this word. Let's all get this. They all need this. We got to change. And let's get the Passover going. You know what it produced? Joy and gladness. This book certainly corrects us, but it also produces joy and gladness. I ask you today, how are we doing with the Word of God? Let's look back on this year. And let's correct this year before the next year starts. Are we all right with that? It's a reflective message with our heads bowed. Just a moment, please. Just a moment. Maybe you're in here today and you say, you know, I just heard you talk about the Word of God, and honestly, it's something I've thought about studying or reading. It just seems like such a large endeavor. If you're not yet born again, if you're not yet received Christ as your Savior, if not yet trusted Jesus Christ and asked Him to forgive your sins, repenting and allow Him, if you would, to begin that process of change within your heart. This morning, you could start a wonderful, wonderful journey. It starts with salvation. Maybe that's the reason God drew you to the church this morning. Or maybe you're in here and you say, you know, I've been saved and I've been a Christian for a while, but really I haven't grown. Maybe it's time to start growing. Maybe it's time to stop slipping and sliding around out there. Maybe it's time to get your feet on a good, solid path and start walking in a way that God would be pleased. Not comparing to somebody else, just your own personal walk. Just you and you and God. Nobody else. Or maybe you've been saved for a while and honestly, in the last few months, the Word of God in your personal devotions has slipped just a bit. And it's time to pick it back up again. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been a little grieved. And He's been waiting for you to come to this place to this day to realize if we give the Holy Spirit, we grieve the author, but we also grieve the revealer of the Word of God. And maybe what He'll do is use something to begin to break our pride down and that which would hinder us from having a walk with Him. Maybe He wants to get rid of some wrath or some anger, some evil speaking, that grudge, some of that bitterness. And it's quite a process, and it hurts, and there's pain involved. But it'll be worth it to understand the Word of God. To grow, if you would, and let it grow richly, the Word of God, grow richly in us. Knowledge will puff up. That charity, that'll edify. Wisdom and understanding the Word of God is when we take the knowledge of it and apply it. And the Holy Spirit shows us how. Now this morning, with your heads bowed and eyes closed just for a moment, let's start with this. Pastor, pray for me. I'd like to know the Word of God better, but I'm not even sure I'm saved. I'm not even sure I'm a Christian yet. I'm not even sure I am born again. I'm not sure the Holy Spirit of God is inside of me. And may I say to you, you don't have to worry about us judging you, but we will pray for you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If that's you, pray for me. I'm not sure of my salvation. Slip up your hand right now and say, that's me. Pray for me. We'll pray for you. We promise. We promise. Now, without hands being raised, maybe you're just a little away. Maybe you haven't really got going yet on studying the Word. Maybe you really haven't got a good solid foundation. Stay with me. Or maybe some things have just slipped a little bit in the Word of God. It's time to get back to it again. I'll guarantee you, it revolves around our walk with the Spirit, who is the author. And Jesus is the author of our faith and the finisher of our faith. But I'll guarantee you, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to do His work, to finish our faith and to grow our faith in the words of this book. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it all revolves around the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Word, and the living, capital W Word, Jesus, and His Holy Spirit sent to do His work. I hope you'll consider today. Whatever your needs are this morning, whether it be prayer, whether it be you would like to follow the Lord in baptism, or whatever it might be, I'll give you a little time this morning just before we dismiss. If you raise your hand for salvation, you come. Let's take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you have another need this morning, just say, excuse me, I'd like to come forward, have some prayer. And don't worry about what anybody thinks. You just do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. The instruments play. The altar's open. Let's do a little work with God. In your pew up front, you raise your hand for salvation, come right now. Don't even hesitate. You have other needs, you come. Whatever it might be, we'll try to help you a little bit. The point is not to close the Word of God to us. The point is to open the Word of God to us. Let's get more firm in the book. Let's get more firm in what we believe in doctrine. Let's get more familiar with the Word of God. Let's go back and reread some of those chapters and some of those books we haven't read in a long time. Let's get back to something consistent again. Life's not over with yet. Let's get back to either those morning devotions or those devotions at midday or those devotions late at night. Let's get back to the Word of God before the year's over. You say, but I've started and stopped so many times. Start again. Ask the Holy Spirit where He'd want you to read. What book, and just read it and study it. And maybe instead of just trying to, you know, read so many chapters and everything, maybe pause and reflect and look and meditate upon something. And go back and reread it again. Maybe take a chapter or two and just reread it and study and meditate on it. Let the Holy Spirit show you some things. Maybe jump into a Bible study sometime during the week. Maybe make church a priority. Maybe come back Sunday night and make it a priority. Or come back midweek. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I'm just saying, make the Word of God more important, more a part of your life. You see, Jehoiakim, he watched it burn in the fire. Certainly we wouldn't burn it in the fire. We wouldn't be in church today if we felt that way, I hope. But we leave it laying. We don't pick it up all week or maybe once in the week. It's time to pick it up a little more frequently. It's time to pick it up, if you would, even if there isn't church that day. Pick it up anyways. Open it. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Let it work in our hearts. It won't return void. It'll still work. It'll do its work. By the way, I leave you with this thought, if you're a parent. Jehoiakim, he didn't give it to his people. Josiah, he made all the people listen to it. I just suggest, if you're a parent, your own personal daily devotions will have an impact on what your children get, the priority that we place on the Word of God on our children. Let me say it again. Our own priorities in our own life of the Word of God will impact how much the Word of God is prioritized as they're growing up in our homes and our families. You keep it a priority in your life and watch, you'll keep it a priority in their life. You'll speak of it. You'll talk of it. You'll refer to it. It'll be part of your home. May you put it away. Put it away in your car, somewhere when you walk home, and you put it in a shelf. And don't pick it up all week long. And watch, your children won't pick up theirs all week long either. You see, we do teach them. A lot of it has to do with what we do in our own lives first. Not to judge, not to condemn. Just a way to analyze and look at ourselves just a little bit and evaluate. Appreciate you being here this morning. Our Father, we ask that you would use this time of, Lord, you said to provoke us to love and good works we assemble together. So I know you use this to provoke us, including myself, a little bit this morning. May we be diligent, Father, to study thy word, to meditate, to hide it away in our heart. Lord, may thy Holy Spirit in our walk with him get closer and stronger. May he be able to enlighten us or rebuke us, give us something new or refer us to something that's old, that we've known before that need to be restirred. And may we watch the little things that he's teaching us to do along the way, that we don't grieve him, that we can understand thy word from the author of thy word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.